fall upon this place. Let the presence of the Lord be felt. Let the Holy Spirit come down and anoint the words we're about to speak. In Jesus' great name, amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 6. Rather, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 6th verse. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and the 6th verse. While you're looking for this, I mentioned tonight I was going to begin a new series of lessons. But you know, as yet I have not felt God's okay on the series of lessons I'm going to speak. And after last week's service and God moved in such a great way, I see why. I believe the Lord has been dealing with my heart and speaking to my heart on certain subjects to speak on. And so until I feel led, I'm going to proceed. And you saw the results here tonight. To let God deal with me until I feel. Because I don't want to waste 4 Wednesday nights in a row on a series that God's not in. By the way, if I don't see the Lord's in it, I'll bail out here for the first week. Amen, you know that. But I feel led of God to move in this direction tonight. I'm reading to you from 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 6th verse. In this ye greatly rejoice. For now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Tonight I'd like to speak to you on the subject of faith tested by fire. I repeat, faith tested by fire. And that is exactly what the Bible speaks of when it says the trial of your faith. Now we all know the great scriptures in the Bible about faith. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible says again that we are to have faith in God. Again, the scriptures tell us that it's dealt to every man a measure of faith. Little faith, great faith, and perfect faith. Everyone in this building has a certain amount of faith, but there are certain development of faith within our lives. The Bible also tells us that all things are possible to them that believe. Now what the scriptures are trying to tell us is faith. Have faith in God. And yet did you know that we really can't make ourselves have faith? We just can't force ourselves to have faith. You either have it or you don't have it. I see people come to the altar on Sunday morning and they fall on their knees and they pray, God, please, please, God, please, please save me. You might as well save your breath because God is not going to hear that prayer. You see, God is not some cruel, brutal beast. He's not an indifferent God. He's not an unconcerned, unwilling God that you have to twist His arm, that you have to beg Him for something. Everything that God has is a free gift to the person who have faith in God. Everything you get from salvation to the rapture, you will only get it by faith, and you just don't beg for faith. The Bible said you ask, and you believe, that you may receive. And many people do not also receive the Holy Spirit because they just don't have faith. They say, please, 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, you can say Jesus all day and please, please, please. But receiving the Holy Spirit is having faith. Even as Peter walked upon the water, you must have faith to step out and believe that God is not a reluctant God. He's one that wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Faith is a relaxed feeling. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe or have faith or I believe it even means relax. Now let me ask you a question. There are those in this building that sometimes have got something from God. How many of you people received that something from God when you were pressing, 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 pressing? Or how many of you when you begin to relax, you found that all things were possible to them that believe? I used to get on my knees. I still do get on my knees. But I used to think, God, I'm going to stay here till you answer. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to wrestle with God. I believe in intercessory prayer. And I believe that you should knock and you and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. But God speaks in the strangest places, I told you the other day. I mean, I've been about ready to hit a golf ball when suddenly I felt the Lord speak to my heart. I've been away someplace driving down the car when I got the answer to that thing. I pressed and pressed and pressed. You see, faith is a beautiful thing that gives you a pass, that gives you a connection, that gives you entrance into the holies of holies. No longer do we go through the priest. The key to getting through to God is through Jesus Christ in faith believing. Oh, I know people say, hold on, brother. Another says, let go, brother. And so we don't know what to do, whether hold on or let go. But my mother has often said that when she was sick with a heart attack, I thought it was so beautiful that she tells that she was so sick and her heart was so heavy and her arms were so weak that she couldn't even pick up her Bible. And people come by and say, hold on, Sister Barnett. Hold on to God. Don't let go. And she said, I was too weak. But one day I read in the Bible that as thy days, so shall be thy strength. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And she went on to say that God seemed to say, it's not how much you hold on. It's just let go and let God have His way. What I'm trying to say, faith is not just something we have to hold on to God or He's going to get away. Faith is a beautiful thing. Faith is believing. And that's why God often bypasses the intellectual and the genius for the common man. The key to getting things from God, my friends, is not Bible reading alone. The key of getting things from God is not necessarily the hours spent in prayer, but the simple great key in getting things from God is faith. The Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Faith is the key that unlocks the cupboard to all of God's great possession. And without faith, you will never get your prayers answered. You see, no man will ever get to heaven without faith. And the Bible said, he that cometh to the Lord must believe that He is, and it emphasizes it again, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. But this key gets things from God's storehouse, faith, if it is to get things from God's storehouse, now listen to me, must be tried. Now we all like to part about faith, but no one likes for their faith to be tried. But how do you know you have faith? Until you've had your faith tried. Let's assume that I get a beautiful car and I go out and I say, I like this car, I think I'll buy it. It's beautiful. Look at the tires. Look at the paint job. Look at the interior. Look at the rugs. Oh, what a beautiful automobile. How do I know it's any good unless I try it? And how do I know my faith is any good unless it's been tried? Listen. Every man's faith will be tried. And I believe that we're going to be tried according to our faith too. The reason for it, your faith must be put to test, is to see if it's any good to be tested. You see, human beings are funny creatures. We don't want to use our faith until we have to. Have you heard people say, I walk by faith. I just am walking in the spiritual walk of faith. But look, I want to ask you a question. You let them really have to walk in their faith and you'll hear them scream bloody murder all over the place. As long as we walk by sight, we walk by sight. As long as we can walk by feeling, we walk with feeling. And it's only when God puts us in a situation that we have to walk by faith, are we willing to walk by faith. And that's why God puts us in this situation, so we can be tried and tested. Because without faith, it wouldn't, my friends, we won't make it into the kingdom of God. Without faith, it is even impossible to live for God. Look, when these people came up here tonight and gave that testimony before hundreds of people out here tonight, did you know that all the demons in hell conspired against you now? Now that you come up here, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a tested faith bigger than you had last week. Anytime you take a stand for God, look, Brother Farmer. Look, your sister back here that said, I'm going to, by God's help, witness and tell others about Jesus. Every one of you that made that dedication knows that the devil's been on your trail ever since. Because it takes faith to witness to somebody. I don't think you got that. I said it takes faith to witness to somebody. Faith that they'll respond. Faith that they'll be saved. Faith that God will carry you through. Faith that He'll give you the words to say. Faith that it'll inspire you. And anytime you take a stand, anytime you say, I have faith, you're going to see real soon if you do or if you don't have it. Now look, last week some of you walked out and you handed me your cigarettes and your lighters. I was standing here at the door and I was teasing them. I was going to tell them I had packs of cigarettes in my pockets in my hand. And I was going to make an announcement that we had 12 people delivered from cigarettes and the pastor took up the habit, you know. Of course I didn't. But they walked by and there I was with cigarettes and cigarette lighters in my hand there, you know. The very fact that God gives you faith, I want you to hear this, is a hint that you're going to have to use it. The very fact that God gives you faith is telling you that you're getting ready to get in the battle. Because why would He give you faith if you don't need faith? And so you really don't need faith unless you're going to have a battle on your hand. And if you've ever noticed, those who have a lot of faith have a lot more battles to fight. Have you ever noticed that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we say, hey, we're going to have faith. And so West Side gets faith and we build a building. And then we got to get some buses to fill it up. And so we get some more buses to fill it up. And suddenly we got money problems. And so we say, oh God, give us money. And about the time He gives us money, we get some more buses and we fill the building up. And then we got to have another building. So we pray, oh God, give us some more money that we can fill the next one up. And so we get money and we start building by faith and the building's built. And then we still got room. And so that worries us. And we say, Lord, give us some money so we can buy some more buses and fill that. And before we know it, it's filled. And then we got a bigger fuel bill. And then we got more space. And we say, Lord, we got 13,000. But we dig the foundation and we start and we get the building finished. And it's already finished. And we're saying right now, Lord, oh, pray hard, people. Pray hard, pray hard. Have faith, have faith. Give us some more land so we can build a building that'll seat thousands for the glory of God. Come on, say a good amen. So one act of faith requires another act of faith, and one battle means another battle within our life. Because the Bible said, of him which is much given, him shall also much be required, and that's also true of faith. God gives unto us faith. But He gives us faith for one reason, that we might engage in battle. That faith might be tested and it might be tried. Look, here's a great ship that has just been built. It's built for one reason. It is built for the high seas. But who will ever know if it will stand the pressures of the high seas? Who ever knows if it will stand the storms unless it goes out in the high seas? Now there are little tugs that go up and down the Mississippi River. We hear them blow their whistles, but these little tugs were not made for the high seas. You see, they weren't built that way. And I want to say, glory to God. There's some people in this building that God is building for the high seas. For the battle. There's people He's building here for high adventure for Jesus Christ. There are people in this building that are building to do mighty works for His glory. But get ready. He's going to test you and try you that He might find out if you can sail in the high seas. Remember a former lesson that God impressed the thought and the principle upon our hearts that God proves what He approves. Some of you are sleeping through it and you need this bad. Look at me. I said, God proves what He approves. Listen, friend. Every time you go through a battle, you ought to say, thank God for the battle. You're getting ready for high seas. Tremendous Jones. Yeah, I used to never understand that guy. It really bothered me. I love that man. And I think he's really a great guy. And I believe in everything he's doing. But when he'd shake my hand, come on, Bill. You'd shake my hands. Oh, and you'd work on the third lumbar and you'd reach in there. Now that didn't bother me so bad. But then he would say, oh, I love you, Tommy. I hope you have bundles of problems. May things get bad for you, he said. I hope they get awful. I thought, how could a man love me and wish problems upon me? But you know, that's the way God gets us ready for the high seas. Some of you are saying, boy, God must really love me. And that one went through your mind. I read it out. He sure must love me. And maybe he does. Because he's testing you. And he's testing your faith. And faith is no good unless it's tested. Have you ever thought like I have? Boy, I got it made. I ain't got a problem in the world. I got the secret. And what's the preacher say? I've got the key to get your prayers answered to God. 6 steps, 8 steps, 10 steps. Or, you know, I go out and I'll talk to pastors about steps for growth, keys to build a great church. Think I got the answer? About that time the devil takes me to the roof of my head. You know, I played tennis with Pastor Heffelfinger. I'm going to confess a little bit, brother. Pastor Heffelfinger is beating me more than I beat him. But everybody knows when the championship games come up that I always win. There's only been one championship, though. I was telling the truth. I always win one time around, you know. You know, he's kind of like the Minnesota Vikings. He wins all the little games, but the big ones with the pressure on him. But you know, when he beats me, I say to myself, I got the key now. And when I beat him, I always say, I think I've learned the key now. He'll say, key nothing, you're lucky. So the next week he goes out and he'll rub my nose right in that court. And then he'll say, what happened to the key? Have you ever felt that way? You think, boy, I've got the answer to how to live happy. I'm on top of the situation. And we get to thinking we don't need anybody all at once. You get the rudder pulled right out from underneath you. And I must confess, we all have something that bothers us the most. You know what bothers me the most? People. Does anybody else have problems that way? Please, may I feel bad. How many ever have problems with people? And they're never the sinners. They don't bother me. I expect that out of them. But Christians bother me. And God's people, church people. If the devil's crowd's mad at me, that doesn't bother me. I think there's something wrong when they like us too much. I don't believe that God's people can live coexistence with sin. I believe we need to rub them wrong, the salt of the earth. Salt burns, it irritates. It also preserves. The Bible said we're to be a hindrance to the old sin tide in this old world. But sometimes, you know, I see people that I think they have faith, but you know they don't. We get hurt and we lose our faith, and before it's over, I'm not going to come back to church. Nobody speaks to me down there. It's not as friendly as it used to be. Pastor Barnett doesn't preach like he used to. He's changed. By the way, I'm preaching the same old messages I preached 5 years ago. How many of you recognize one of them propped up down there? Oh, smart alecks. But you did prove my point, you know. I sometimes work them over a little bit. Put a little salt and pepper here. Put a little Tabasco sauce on them and preach them again. I know the message's not changing. You know what happens? The same people that used to love it and love the preaching, love the singing, they get a little bitter and they get a little cold. And the same thing they used to love is really not the church. It's really the old self. Come on, say a good amen out there. Look, people, something's happened right with all these people being saved. Come on, say amen. You see, the enemy of our soul wars against us. We're fighting continuously. Only faith will carry you through. The Bible said, he that believeth, not he that feels good. Not he that's got everybody patting on his back. Not he that gets visited every week. But he that hath faith. Faith in who? Brother, if you give faith in Tommy Barnett, he's going to let you down. You give faith in these pastors and it'll let you down. You give faith in the church and it'll let you down. Oh, the problem is, people, we don't need to build our Christianity around people, our pastors, our churches. We need to have faith in God. Oh, you know, I believe in loyalty. I think you ought to be loyal to you. I think you ought to be loyal to the pastor of this church. But the kind of faith that says it may look dark now, but God's going to come to my rescue. My business may be on the rocks, but I know God's going to see me through. My children may be getting away from God, but I claim my children for thee. There's something that we need to discuss about faith here just a minute. I said earlier that faith is something that can't be worked up. I said faith is something that cannot be made up. But here's a great Bible principle about faith I want to give to you. Number one, it is learned by relationship with an almighty God. As you unify yourself with God and you walk with Him, you soon understand what He's like. You understand what He'll do. You get to know where He's going. You get to know where He's going to take you. And you only learn this kind of faith with relationship. Look, I live with my wife now for some time. And I understand just about what she's going to do on certain things. I think I better reward that. I have been married to my wife for some time. I wonder what she's laughing about. I'm trying to figure that out there. This is a different age. You got to explain yourself in this age. How many realize that? Say amen. I've been married to my wife for some time. Let's see. How many years have you been married? I'm 39. I've been married since 12 years. We've been married. And you know, I can almost tell you what she's thinking without asking. I can almost tell you what she's going to do. Now, she won't like this. Women like to be unpredictable, I know. I can almost tell you where she's going to go. But I've learned that because I've lived some time with her, and that comes out of a relationship. And a person that walks with God, he learns that the Lord is all sufficient. He learns that the Lord is every faithful. He learns that He'll be there at all times. He learns that He sticks closer than a brother. He learns that He's the beginning and the end. He learns He's the answer. He learns that He sustains all of our needs. When you learn to know Him in that relationship, then you learn to know what the walk of faith is. Because when you get to know Him, you get to trust Him. Oh, glory, and the song says it gets sweeter as the days go by. Now, I know Him. And I know Him better now than I knew Him when I was 16 years old and started preaching. But I tell you, Brother Jones knows Him better than I did. But how will you walk with Him now? Oh, I guess I know Him better than you. I've been saved since I was 5 years old. I'm sorry. I take it all back. How long have you been saved, Brother Shalom? How many years?
How many years?
How many years? 46 years. Anybody been saved longer than that? My, how long have you? He knows the Lord better than I do. He's walked with Him longer. How long have you been serving the Lord? 60 years. You must call Him on a personal name basis. It's kind of like John R. Rice used to pray, and he'd pray sometimes and say, Dear God, and other times he'd say, Dear Jesus, and other times he'd say, Dear Holy Spirit. And a theologian said to him, That's not biblical. You're supposed to pray to God in the name of Jesus. Well, he said, when you know Him as well as I do, you can call Him any of them. It doesn't matter. Amen. Anybody known the Lord more than 60 years? Anybody learning more than 60 years? How long you've known Him? As long as you can remember. Say, He was brought up knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I can remember as 5 years old. I've been in it all my life, but 5 years old I made a decision for Christ. Look, then the longer you know Him, you learn to trust Him. And you know, that's the kind of church that I believe God wants us to build right here. I'd hate to think that my wife would believe if someone came up at her and said, "I saw your husband downtown with another woman." I'd hate to think that she would believe that story, because she knows her husband better than that. I'd like to think she knows her husband's not kind of man. But look, some old sinner will come up to you and say, "Why, look what's got you into serving God. What good does it do to pay 10% of your tithes?" And all just knocks the props out of you. People, they may ridicule you. They may ridicule your pastor. They may ridicule your church. They may ridicule your motive. But remember, we know God. And that's not faith talk when we say that. We say things like, I hear them all the time, "Oh, I thought God was going to answer my prayer. I trusted the Lord, and look what has happened to me. I brought my kids to church all these years. Look how they turned out." That's not faith talk. The Bible tells us faith is in our mouths. Faith is in our lips. Your faith has been tested. Your faith will be tried. You'll be engaged in a battle. Satan will come against you. People may even turn against you. But you'll never lose if you have faith in God. Now there's some who are saying, I've been tested, but there's a limit to how far I can be tested. Look, God had to know Job pretty well. God had to know that Job was a pretty powerful man for God to let Job go through what he went through. But look at the people that were held because of Job. Because of Job's faithfulness, because of his testing, look at the people that look back and talk about Job, how he lost everything, how his family was destroyed, how his cattle was destroyed, how he lost his wealth. And yet he said, "Though God slay me, yet I'll trust Him." And you remember that every time you're tested, every time you're tried, you're blazing a trail for you. But not only for yourself, but for others who will come behind and follow. I know there are families in this building tonight that have been attacked. There are children in this building that have been attacked. There are families in this place that have had their businesses almost go completely under. But I'm here to tell you that God is still the same. And this is only the testing period. And God is going to use your experience to bring glory to His name, and to bring glory to the pathway of others. Some of you people that have had to walk by faith, some of you had to go through some dark situations. But I want to tell you, just keep on walking by faith. And you're going to come forth like Job, like gold. And gold that's tested in the fire is pure gold. Oh, hallelujah. Gold that's been through the fire is purified. The elements are out that shouldn't be there. You'll never know the brilliance of a diamond when it's in the rough. After the rough edges have been chipped off, after it's been cut and polished, you see the brilliance of the diamond. But until, my friends, faith has been tried and tested and burned in the fire, you'll never know the dynamic force you can be after your faith has been dedicated to the glory of God. For the Bible says, "My God is able." Let me read that again. "My God is able to do." Praise the Lord. You ought to be shouting by the time I finish the scripture. "My God is able to do exceedingly." My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask. How many can ask pretty big out there? Let me see here. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. Oh, glory. according to the power that worketh within. Friends, remember, just because a storm rages today, just because the winds blow and the storms rage, remember, it doesn't weaken our God. Pastor Barnett, I've been tried and I've been tempted to turn back. The devil has made me want to run away already from what I found in Jesus Christ. He said to me, it's too hard. Price is too big. Like the man at our church who came to me several years ago here and said, Pastor Barnett, I've been saved 3 months, and he began to cry. He said, when's the devil going to leave me alone? I didn't have the heart to tell him. Because he never leaves us alone. How many have found that? There's other people who said, but Pastor Barnett, I've been tested. I doubted my salvation. Join the club. I doubted my salvation. How many of you have doubted your salvation? See? But we're not saved by how we decide on these things, but we are saved by our faith. Not by feeling. Salvation is a decision. But there's others of you out there have been saved for years, and you'll say, preacher, I've gotten negative. And you'll notice I work a lot on the older Christians because you are very vulnerable to being guilty of negative faith. Did you know that this congregation right now, now listen closely to me, is in the safest position that it's ever been? Did you know the older this congregation gets, the more dangerous it becomes? The first people, the first love, first generation Christians are the easiest to pastor. It's people been saved year after year and gotten used to it. And I want to tell you, they break preachers' hearts. They run them off. They give them ulcers. They tear up more churches because they get stayed and they want their way. And they get mean and they want attention. That's you. That's what you're going to be like. If you don't, the only thing that will keep you fresh is what Pastor Heffelfinger preached last week. Man, it sounds good when somebody else comes along and preaches. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone preaching soul winning. One fellow said to me the other day, you're against everything. You'll probably float upstream when you die. You see, it's easy to get negative. It's easy to get on that phone. Oh, ladies, if you can't keep from blabbing on the phone. And by the way, I'll just warn you while I'm at it. Don't talk to people from other churches that want to call up and tear your church down. Just be polite. Or anybody gets up, just say, God bless you, I love you, but I don't want to fill my mind. I mean, you'll say I'm rude. Go ahead and be rude. They need somebody to be rude to them. Come on, say amen. Don't think that way. If you can't get victory over talking negative on the phone, rip that thing out and throw it in the Mississippi River. And I'll pay for the phone. It'd be a good investment. Come on, say a good amen. You see what I'm trying to say is, we're tempted as we get older to judge other people according to our standards and our development. See, we see new Christians. They're not where they ought to be, maybe some of them. We get petty and get childish and we're like the children of Israel. We look back and say, oh, I remember the old days. The children of Israel said, I remember Egypt, all the leeks, the garlic. The night they were getting ready to have pomegranates and grapes, and they were thinking about the garden. Can you imagine that? And they begin to long from the land they came from. Oh, Pastor Barnett, I remember the good old days. And I do too. I remember the days, friends, that we sat with our two or three in church. I've been in this, as Bill says, I've been in this thing a long time. And I remember the days that we sat there with our two and four and no more, and if anybody else came in our church, we felt threatened that they might take our position. I remember the old days when, you say, the power fell. I saw a lot of things in the flesh that hindered the work of God. I saw dear sisters get out of order in the flesh. All across the aisle, knock off hats of brand new sinners that came in the church and fell right, and just the people get them stomped out and never get saved. Look, I believe in singing, shouting, dancing about it. But I believe in keeping things in decency and order when sinners are in our midst. Come on, say amen. You know, this is a Pentecostal church. There's no church in town that praises and worships and glorifies God. I wouldn't be ashamed to bring the president in. But I want to tell you something, a lot of things that jump and shout and run and live like the devil during the week. Come on, say amen. You say, preacher, you're getting awful brave tonight. But don't talk to me about the old days. This is the day that God said in the, I believe it's the last day. He said He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. This is the day of the revival. And let's look ahead, not back. Say amen. You've been tipped to get negative. Your faith's being tested. And they'll ruin you if you coddle that remark. Yes, you've been tested. But if you'll stand true, you're about to see the glory of God like you've never known before in your life. You're getting ready for the high seas. Oh, does that excite you? Glory, glory, glory. How many want to get on the high sea? This week at New Orleans, when I was talking to one of the great churches down there, the pastor, God began to make me hungry. He was talking about his church and the revival he was having. And the kind of thing you want to have. And I got so hungry for the kind of revival we haven't even had here yet. I believe, friends, it's every once in a while we kind of get away. But I believe the revival's coming to this church where we see miracles. I mean miracles financially, physically, great healings. I've even said I believe that God, we may even see the dead raised around here. Come on, say amen. I believe we're about to see the high seas. But first of all, we got to have hardness, the hardness of the soul. Remember after Isaac? Abraham went up the mountain and Abraham put his son and offered him a sacrifice and brought his knife back and God said, don't you touch him. God looked down and said, and now Abraham, I know what's in your heart. You proved yourself. And the devil knew what was in Abraham's heart too after that. Folks, too long we said, I think I've got it made. That's an awful thing, the way to live. But say, I think I've got it made. The devil's always sitting there and you say, I think I've got it made. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that we have it made? Now look, none of us are eager for the battle. But after the battle is over and won, the devil knows that you won the victory. You know, once you win the victory over that thing, he says, you doesn't bother you too much in that area. And you say, hallelujah, I got it made. But watch out, he moves to another area. But if you just keep on serving God, finally he runs out of areas. What will tempt me might not tempt you. What will tempt you might not tempt me. How do you know you won the victory? Well, you know you won the victory when you've been tested and you've come through. Like pure gold. One last thought and I close. I've seen more people turn away from God when things are going good than when things were going bad. When things are going bad, people get saved. Jailhouse religions. Foxhole salvations, we call them. I've never seen a prisoner yet that wasn't religious if he's heading to the electric chair. I mean it. If he's going to jail, he always gets religious. The judges make fun of that very type of thing. And I believe they do get saved that way. But you watch a man get prosperous in business. And I've seen him lose out with God. You watch families when they're about broken, they're praying, hold on to God. But you let them get everything weeded out. And often they forget the Lord. So the testing of our faith can either make us stronger, or we can fold. It's easy to have faith in God when you're having miracles. It's easy to have faith in God when your church is the number one church in America. It's easy to have faith in God when you've got $100,000 in the bank to spend on the building fund, but it's not easy. You see, faith begins where knowledge ends. But what about when people are cursing you and fighting you? The bills are unpaid. The dog has bit the kid. You said, I'll never touch that cigarette again. And suddenly, the refrigerator goes out and the washer goes on the blink and the kids are all screaming at the top of their voice. You'll feel like walking a mile again, one of those camels. That's just the way you'll feel. But you hang true. Remember, the testing is for your good. No, I don't like it. I don't like the testing. I don't like to go in the battle. But I need it. And so I guess I say, Lord, I don't like it, but go ahead. I want it. So I can come forth. Let's go. Hey, you've been tested. My time's up. I've gone over. Have you been tried? Have you been tested? Have you been tried? God loves you. Close your eyes. I believe this is a perfect message to follow up last week. I talked about willpower. Our power connected to God's power. Ooh, praise God. You talk about dynamite. That's what it is. But I've been talking to you tonight about being tried through the fire. Being tried through the fire. Hey, how many out there say, preacher, I believe I'm going through the fire. And I believe the Lord wanted you to preach that message to let me know that He's getting me ready for the high seas. I didn't realize it, but the Lord really loves me. I want to have strong faith. And for the first time, I'm realizing that God is just trying to prove what kind of faith I have in Him. And preacher, I'm going to try to win the battle. I'm going to try to win the battle. I'm not going to live it by feeling. I'm not going to live it by emotion. I'm going to try to live it by faith. How many of you say, preacher, I'm going through the fire right now. Every head bowed, every eye. Put your hand up real high. Praise Him. Look at that. Don't look. Keep your head down. Keep raising them all over, but I'm kind of going through the fire. Put them down. How many of you'll say, I'm not going through the fire, preacher, but I'll try to remember. It's easy to forget when things go well, but I'll try to remember when the battle comes that God's testing my faith. How many of you'll try to remember? Raise your hand real high. Hold them up. I want us all to stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to raise our hands and thank God for the trials right now. Let's thank God for the fire. Raise your hand real high. Lord, thank You for the fire. Thank You for what You're teaching the church. Lord, bless every new convert in this building, Lord, that is going to be tested. They're going to be ridiculed on the job. But help them to realize, Lord, they're having a testing of their faith. You're getting them ready for big things, God. You want to save that family, Lord. Oh, help them to recognize the attack of the enemy and help them to know that glory, great joy, hand-clapping joy, joy unspeakable, shouting joy is ahead for those who overcome. I want us to sing that song, Song Through the... Song through the flood, Song through
the...
through the trial on the mountain. Beware. We're going to sing just one course of Have Faith in God, and we're going to close. And I want every one of you to just to say, Lord, instead of just saying, have faith, I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to try to remember, Lord. I'm going to put my confidence not in man, but God. I'm going to try to trust my fellow man. Oh, don't be an old cynic or say, I don't trust anybody but God. Trust men. I said, trust men. Be gullible. Amen. I've been took many times financially by trusting people. But I'd rather be took than be the tooker. The taker. Amen. Have faith in God. Put both hands up and sing it as loud and as clear as you can. Real loud. Have faith. Have faith in God for the answer. Have faith in God.
I want every member of the church to remain standing. I want the rest of you to be seated. Oh, everybody sit down just a minute. Now, we're going to have a business meeting right now. You that are not members can stay and attend. I don't think I'm overstepping my position. It's almost a formality, but we want to give you a chance. I don't think we got much choice, but I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We got a building out here. We started building by faith. Now listen closely to me. We had $13,000 in a building that the architect will tell you will be worth about $700,000 when it's finished. We come a long ways. We only borrowed $70,000. Well, the building, this building will probably have about $400,000, somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000 in that building. That is a $700,000 building. Am I about right on my figures, Herman? Okay, I thought it was. I just wanted to be sure. Now, we are now at the position where we owe about $60,000 on the building. We knew probably, unless the Lord did something miraculous, that we wouldn't have enough money to finish. Last time we came and told you we thought we could finish for $70,000. That was the board and us just figuring our heads, and we were figuring without carpet, we were figuring without all the things like fire escapes and the things that would be needed for school. Just barely getting in the bare minimum. But as we've gone, God supplied the need and so forth, and we just kind of believe the day has come that we don't need to just go into a place slipshod. You might as well finish it up first class. I believe God, we've come too far, metal buildings. I think we need to do it upright from now on. Everybody believes that, say a good amen. So the building now is made for a school. If you want to have a school there, it'd be fire code and so forth with all the equipment in there and fire smoke signals and where smoke. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to go into detail. Don't bug me with details. But anyway, it's all ready to go and it's going to be nice. Now the architect tells us that we need, at the one time a while back, about 120 to finish it. However, we have, you've given right along, so that's why I would say around $100,000 now, somewhere in that vicinity, to finish that building completely. Now, the banker in this city likes us very much. They just don't loan money to churches like they have to us. But they believe in this church, and the Davenport Bank is the hardest bank in town to get a loan from. They're known that way. They're just conservative. But they have confidence in our church. We went down to the Davenport Bank and told them that we'd like for them to loan us $50,000 to finish the building. And then we believe that the day we moved in that building, I'll tell you in advance right now what I'm going to do. We've never done this on a Sunday morning, ever. Other people have done it for their things. We've done it for missionaries, but never here, ever done it. But on Sunday morning, when God leads me, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to take about 5, 10, no more than 15 minutes, and I'm going to ask everybody in this building, we're going to have ad mission up here to stand. We'll pledge so much to give in the next month or 2 months, or give it cash. We'll figure a time that we'll have to have the money in to get it finished. And I believe that as everybody prays about it, most of the offerings we've taken have been on Sunday night. We haven't given the morning people a chance to give. I believe one last push that we can get that $50,000 to go with the banks, $50,000. If we can raise that $50,000, they'll give us the $50,000. Now, you guys have been watching Pat Robertson, the $700 Club. The dollars have gone with it this month, for sure. And they've had the $50,000 challenge. Well, we're going to have a $50,000 challenge if you'll all approve of it here today. And who knows, the Lord might move in such a way that day that we'll get the $100,000 right along. I never have felt yet. Never have felt yet that we really received the kind of single offering that we should receive from this church at one time. So I'm believing that we can get this thing cleared out and be on our way and only owe a minimum. Now, folks, there's no problem making the payment. I think our payment will be somewhere around $3,500. Let me give you a little report. They say that a church building should never have a bigger payment than their first offering of the month is. They said it should never be bigger than the first. So our payment, you know, would need to be $3,500 or more. Last month, last Sunday, our offering was almost $10,000. Give the Lord a good clap offering out there. That's wonderful. Now, that is up considerably over last year. When you figure we're trying to put in asphalt parking lots, buy another piece of property back here or over there where we can get it, we just don't have any money in the bank. We're just spending it as we go on the labor and buying stuff as we go. We really need about $20,000 a week to buy the buses we need and extend the program we need in this area. And that's not a big income for a congregation of our size, but it's wonderful. What I'm trying to tell you is financially, we can make the payment. I believe that God will supply it. Everybody believes that? Say a good amen. Now, What I want is your permission, because as members of this church, we cannot borrow the money unless you give the okay. I will tell you this, when I go around the country, churches have $500,000, $600,000, $800,000, $900,000 payments, $1 million payments that they're making on buildings. We have a very low payment. Our total payment on everything we owe, the parsonages, the buses, the bus garage, these buildings and everything, our total payment right now is what, $200,000, Herman? If we get the loan, it'll be $260,000. That means that we have about $1.5 million worth of property without counting our buses. I mean, just buildings and land is estimated $1.5 million, and we owe $250,000 on it. Everybody thinks we're in pretty good shape. Let me see your hand. Amen. And praise the Lord. We're thankful for what God has done. And I want to thank you. Be more faithful. If we get our giving up about $15,000, $20,000 a year, I tell you what we could do. We could begin to build that building in about a year that would seat the thousands we need. How many would like that to happen? Would you like for that to happen? So keep on being faithful. Folks, start tithing. God has good things ahead of us. All right. I tell you what I want to do. Is there any opposition to all the members stand up? Just people who are members of this church. Now, while they're standing, I'm glad to see that, because I want the rest of you to become members. Amen. Yeah, I didn't do that for that reason, but I'd like for you to become a part of the voting body of this church. You're just as much a member. Only thing is, you don't get to vote like this on how we spend the money, see? And that's all. Now, I want to ask your permission without taking a ballot right now. I'd like to ask everybody's permission while you remain standing. Who'll be willing for us to take an open vote? We'll have everybody bow their head. And we'll do it with our heads bowed. But everybody that's willing to take an open ballot vote on this property business without having us to bow our heads, you're willing to take an open ballot. Everybody that's willing to take an open from the floor ballot, raise your hand real high. Okay, put them down. All who oppose and think it ought to be a ballot, raise your right hand. Okay, it's carried. I don't see one against it, to my knowledge. Okay. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes all over this audience. Heavenly Father, guide us now. Guide us now. Who knows, that Sunday morning that we received the offering, I just so happen to have a feeling that if we borrow the 50, that you're going to give us the 50. And I couldn't help but think today, it hit me, that the Lord would give us such a great move of the Holy Spirit that day that we might even get enough to even pay this thing with asphalt. I just couldn't help but get away from that, Lord, that we just go over that 50,000 mark and get enough to pay for this entire parking lot all over this building. Now, Lord, guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Every one of you that will allow us to borrow the money from the bank, while every head is bowed, please, no one looking around. I don't see anybody. Even those that are voting, keep your head bowed. Sounds like I'm giving an altar call, doesn't it? Everyone that we're willing to vote and think we can borrow the money and you'll give us permission, raise your right hand real high and hold them up. Put them down. All who oppose, raise your hand. Okay. We have all but two, and there are young men over here with a strong voice who are wonderful young fellows. Now, one of them is a member. I don't know if the other is or not. We thank God for your cooperation out here tonight. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering for what he's going to do in our church. Praise the Lord. And if the negative vote was known, it was only because they believed that the Lord would probably give us the money. And they wanted to go that direction. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been a good service tonight. Everybody that's believed it, say a good amen. And I guess I preached on faith the right time tonight. I really didn't plan it that way, but it kind of worked out good. Let's have faith in God. Sunday with Jerry Lucas is going to be terrific, Doug. We had a business meeting. I'm sorry to take your time up, but we got to have the room out there. Smile at me. Thank you. All right. Amen. Y'all in the choir, cooperate with him. He's going to go ahead and have practice anyway, and you got 45 minutes instead of an hour, but if he keeps a little over, be faithful. Please come and practice. Please, everyone, don't be more faithful than ever. Five or six of you join the choir. Hey, wait just a minute. And then Doug won't be mad at me. How many like to get me off the hook for Doug? How many have been wanting to join the choir for a long time? If you have, raise your hand real high. Praise the Lord. Come on down and join it tonight. I think I got you some new recruits out of it, Doug. Please. How many else? Hey, we got to work on the building tomorrow night, don't we? We didn't take hands for that. I'm not going to ask you. Please, men, just show up. Will you show up tomorrow night, men and women? Will you show up tomorrow night? How many will show up tomorrow night? Oh, that's awful. Let's try it again. How many will show up tomorrow night to work on the building? Raise your hand real high. Let's try it again. How many will show up tomorrow night? We're going to try it again. Bob, quit looking so disgusted and raise your hand on that. I'm going to count them. You didn't raise your hand enough. Everybody that will come out and work on the building, raise your hand real high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's not very good, but I'm not going to hassle you. Friday night's the youth night. How many will come out and try to work on the youth night? We need painters. Ladies, we need painters. We need painters. Bring your kids to youth night and paint. Men, we need workers. Raise your hand real high for Friday night. That's awful. This is awful. I hate to end the service like this. How many will come and work Friday night? Put your hand up real high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, I'm not going to bother you anymore, but I'm going to pray the Lord to get your crabgrass if you stay home. Or that you get a wart on your toe or something like that. Or a boil on your nose or something. Amen. Everybody stand up all over the building. All right. Well, we've accomplished a lot tonight. Choir, come right over here and immediately practice. Shake hands. One with another.